Good morning, everybody. Shalom aleichem. Good tavach. We left off last week in Masechet Pesachim Talmud Bavli and Daf Chav Beis on the base. Again, the sugya is famous. Sugya Chizki and Rabbi Abohu. The discussion is: how do you know that Chametz b'Pesach is also b'Hanoa? Not all the Tanoim agree. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds a Chametz b'Pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili is quoting Chav Gimel and Aleph. He's of the opinion that Chametz b'Pesach is muta b'Hanoa. So we don't accept his opinion. We pass on also b'Hanoa. But it never says in the Chumash. So that was a machlokes Chizkiah Rabbi Bo. So the Gemara is going to run through all of these Suri Achila to establish which of them are Asa Bahanoah, which of them are Muta Bahanoah. And all, and you have to have Psukim to indicate everything. So the Gemara quoted a Braisa towards the bottom of Chav Beis, on the base of Vahare Orla, about the 8 lines, 10 lines from the bottom. The line begins with the two words Vahare Orla. Orla means if you plant a tree in Chumash and only says Kisavoy al Haaretz, Parshas Kedoshim in the middle of Chumash Vayikra, Kisavoy al Haaretz and the Taitim Kolaitz Machav Araltam al Losay. Only says Orla Beretz Yisrael. Orla B'chutz Loretz, the Mishnah Kedushin says, is an exception to the rule. Usually the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. That's mitzvah Hatluya Ba'aretz. Orla should be an agricultural mitzvah. So the Mishnah says Orla is an exception to the rule. And the Gemara has a machla, the Mishnah says, why it's a halacha? So the Gemara has a machla, kisamarayim. What does the word halacha mean in the Mishnah towards the end of the first parak in Kiddushin? Does it have the connotation of halacha l'moshe m'sinai? That orla b'chutz l'artz is the raisa, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, a tradition of Torah Shabalpeh? Or does it mean mehilchas medina? Maybe it means it's only awesome at the Rabbanim. We assume in Shulchan Aruch that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that it's really a din deraisa. And the Gemara says, despite the fact that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, which is a din deraisa, the din still is that safek orla b'chutz l'aretz is mutter. Gemara says, why? But if it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's a din deraisa. So the Gemara says, kach nemer halacha, that's the way the halacha was said. Vado asur sveika mutter. Vadai orla b'chutz l'aretz is asur. And safek orla b'chutz l'aretz is mutter. So that's a question, what does that mean? So the Rambam apparently writes in one place that every Sofik halacha l'moshe m'sinai is l'kula. It's not unique over here, only by Orla. When do you say Sofik deraisa l'chumra? If it's something that's in Chumash. You learn it out from Psukim Chumash. But if it's purely halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it's not even Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Pesukim Chumash. You're not that you're reading in between the lines. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai means an oral tradition. That the Rama holds that that's l'kula. Just like Safik, the Rabban Lakula, Safik Allah Moshe M'sinai Lakula. And the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with this Rambam. And he says it's not true. It means only Safik Allah B'chutz L'Arts Allah Moshe M'sinai. When Allah Moshe M'sinai was transmitted regarding Orla B'chutz L'Arts, despite the fact that the Chumash says Kisavoy Al Ha'aretz, the Allah Moshe M'sinai says that it applies even to Chutz L'Arts. So that's part of this package deal of this halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Safek orla b'chutz l'aretz muta. Any other safek is also. So we mentioned that's a question. Where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? We don't know exactly where the Rambam is. The Ramban accuses the Rambam of having said that safek halacha l'moshe m'sinai is always l'kula. Where is the Rambam? So we mentioned that in the 1700s, there was by the Sfardim, there was the Maharital Ghazi. He has fantastic svarim. So I think it was his father from the Al-Ghazi family. There were a lot of prominent rabbanim from the Al-Ghazi family. So I think the father of the Maharital Ghazi wrote this sefer that's called Arad de Rabbanim. He has alphabetically arranged. It's an encyclopedia only on specific issues. He discusses which dinim are deraisa, which dinim are de rabbanim. So he only has in his encyclopedia each Din only has one or two paragraphs. That's the whole thing. It goes from Aleph to Tav, every single din. Aleph, Asmachta lo kanya. Whether Asmachta lo kanya is a din deraisa de rabbanis, it quotes the Rishonim and the Akronim will talk about it. And Breri, Yesh Breri, b'deraisa b'derabbanon, he tells every topic. So when he talks about Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, where is this Rambam? So he quotes a Rambam in Hilchos Mikvos. He said, that's the Rambam that the Ramban was alluding to. He doesn't say where the Rambam is, but Harav Al-Ghazi points out that the Rambam in Hilchos Mikvah sounds like he says like that, that every Sofik, Halacha Moshe M'sinai, is lahakol. So again, so the Brisa says kisavay al haaretz and etaytem kolletz machaval atam alasa ishalashan marelim yolachem lo yeyachal. So the word arelim says three times in the pasuk, and it says lo yeyachal. So if it says lo yeyachal, that should be bein lechizkia bein lerababo. They should both agree. It says lo yeyachel. They should both agree that word has the connotation of isar achila and isar hano. The Brisa seems to contradict both. Brisa says, why do you need that? It should be written three times the word baraltem alasa arelim yolachem lo yachel. Why do you need three times arelim? So once tells me that orla is not only asar achila, it's asar b'hano as well. The second time tells me not only is it also an other hano as shalo yitzababo. You're not allowed to wear a jacket that's dyed with a pigment, a color that came from an orla fruit. When you have an orla, when you have a tree that's orla, the first 3 years, if peres grow, the peres of orla rasa, the wood of the orla tree is mutta. Only the peres are rasa. So if you get a pigment from the peres and you dye a jacket, and you wear that jacket, and you wouldn't have worn it if it wouldn't have any dye in it. So you're getting hanoah from the color. So the first, the fact that it says three times the word arelim, the first time tells you the oral is asmano, the second time tells you shalo yitzababo, and the third time tells you shalo yadlik ba'asaner. If you have shemen from, let's say you have an olive tree. So a lot of times no olives will grow at all the first 3 years. If they do grow, so the olives are asamano. If you make olive oil, so you're not allowed to use that olive oil to be madlik asaner. So that's what the Brisa says. The three times are altim. So the Gemara says the kasha is that here it says here the first wide line on chav beis and beis. Time of the kasha achmano altim alos arelim three times. Olaf achiv, not for the fact that it says three times arelim. I would have said Israel Mashmi Sana Loy Mashma. So it's a kasha ben lechiske ben lerabamo, because here it says lo yeyachel. So the Gemara says li oilam, the answer is lo yeyachel mashma min yisachil nisana ben lechiske ben lerabamo. Why do you need psukim? Why do you need the first of the three psukim that says arelim tells me that it's also bano? That's because here it happens to say arelim yiyolachem. So that the word lachem should have had the connotation of lachem. L'chol tzarchechem should have had the mashmos, salch dat chaminu helach sib lachem, shalachem yehei, that it should be muta bano. So that's why this is an exception to the rule, because it says lachem, that would be a little misleading. So that's why it has to say again, three times arelim, the first time tells me that orla is also bano. So now once you have the pasuk that says orla is also bano, so why does it taka say lachem? That's the Gemara's next question. The last two lines. Now that says three times arelim, and it means that it's also bano. So lachem lamali. Why does it say the word lachem? Gemara's lachem is in the plural to tell you that the laws of orla apply not only if a private person plants trees for his own personal purpose, even if he's natel arabim. What does it mean? So the top Tosis disagrees with Rashi. The top Rashi on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph learns Natel Arab means he planted, the community planted trees in the street, like in New York City. They have trees planted. The government paid from planting trees. So Tosfos says, no, that's two different Mishnayos in Orla. One Mishnah is Hanateh B'shus Arabim. If the government plants trees in the middle of the street, then there's another Mishnah, Hanateh L'Arabim. A private person plants trees on his private property, L'Arabim, that the public, that the community should have the right to get. So this machlokes hatanoim that the Mishnah quotes machlokes of Yunan HaChachamim is only in a case of hanetel arabim. A private person planted trees on his private property on behalf of the tzibur. Chazon Ish points out on that Mishnah in Orla. Chazon Ish has a sefer on Orla, even though there's no Bavli. So on that, I think it's the opening Mishnah. I think it's in the first Mishnah in Orla, the very beginning of Orla. So he says, how do you give over ownership to the municipality? Hanatel Arabim sounds like the person is planting the tree on his own field, on his front lawn, and he's giving it over to the public. What kinyan does he make? The field belonged to him. and the tree belongs to him. He plants the tree and he makes a declaration. He's giving it over to the public. It sounds like the public acquires ownership without any need for a Maisa Kinyan. That's a big chiddush. That the rabbim, the community, can be kind. Usually we have a klal, the Rambam postulates the klal Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchas Mechira. The Rambam writes, Ein ha-mekech nikne bedvarim. If I own property, karko and metaltum, I want to transfer ownership to someone else. So just by making an oral declaration, that will not do the trick. The property still belongs to me, and it doesn't transfer ownership. You have to make a maisa kinyan. There are kinyani karka and kinyani metaltalim. The Pnei Yeshua points out in the second parak in Gittin, is a Gemara there. The Gemara there seems to say the Nesibis quotes, the Pnei Yeshua has two suggestions. So the Nesibis quotes the one of the two suggestions. From that Gemara would appear that Kinyani Karka do not work on Metaltalim. Kinyani Metaltalim do not work on Karka. There's only one Kinya that works both on Karka and on Metaltalim because it's neither a Kinyan Karka nor a Kinyan Metaltalim. That's Kinyan Chalipin. Apparently there's something very different about Suder, about Chalipin. If I give you a handkerchief, I can acquire ownership of your house, or I can acquire ownership of your road and mobile, whether karka or metaltalim, because the pasuk in Megillas Rus, v'sholof ishnalim, and asim l'reyehu, the institution of kinyan chalipin is based on the pasuk in Sefer Megillas Rus. So the pasuk says there, v'zos l'fonim yisrael l'kayim kol dover. It's good for anything and everything. That's what the Balei HaTosfos write. Kinyan chalipin is good, l'kayim kol dover, anything and everything. That's a question why. Maybe we'll get to discuss it. Why should Kinyan Chalipin be different? But basically, that is the cloud. Kinyani Karka don't work on Metaltum. Kinyani Metaltum don't work on Karka. And Chalipin is a different kind of a Kinyan. It was never formulated either as a Kinyan Karka or as a Kinyan Metaltum. It works the kind called Dava for anything and everything. So the Chazon Ish says, from this Mishnah, it would appear the Mishnah beginning of Orla, that has a machlekes abyun in the rabban, and he's noter l'rabim. It sounds like that they all agree. A person has his own field, he has his front lawn, he plants a tree, and he makes an oral declaration. He wants to give it over to the municipality. So it sounds like the municipality acquires ownership without any need for a maisa kinyan. Unlike the rule of the Rambam, ein ha-mekach nikne bedvarim. Whenever you want to transfer ownership or property, whether karka metaltal minita maisa kinyan, just by oral declaration, it doesn't work. That's only kisim karmim kala misecha kana miyada misecha. If you're selling to a private individual, la misecha, but if you're selling to the municipality, to the tzibur, no kinyan is needed. Yeah, how did the Tanoim, the Chazon Ish, said that's the impression that he gets from the Mishnah. Then he has another Mishnah in the Dorim, he thinks it says like that. Where's the Mokar in the Chumash? So the Pashtus is the mockers from that phrase, Kisim Karmimka La Misecha, Kona Miyada Misecha. We're selling a buying La Misecha, then you need a Maisa Kinyan from the term La Misecha. Chazon Ish doesn't want a Darshan Psukim. He Darshan your own Drasha. So he suggests maybe the mocker is from the institution of Hefker. How do you know there's such a thing as Hefker? How do you know? When the Rebbe Shalom created the world, everything was hefker, everything was up for grabs. So then everybody was kind of everything. Everybody grabbed everything up. How do you know today that if I own property, I can revert it back to how do you know that you can reverse it? I own my apartment. How do you know that I can be mafke my apartment? Maybe when the Rebbe Shalom created the whole world, everything was hefker. But once you acquire ownership, maybe you can never... You can transfer ownership to someone else. Maybe there's no such thing as reverting back to Hefker. So the Tesis in Bava Kama, Perek Meruba, and Daf Samach Tes, quotes a Yerushalmi, the Impeya, that is learned out from the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. It says in Parshas Mishpatim, the dinam of Shemitah, that whatever grows in Shnas HaShemitah is Hefker. So the Pasuk says, Hashriyas Tishmetena Unetashta, the owner of the field should be Mafke the Peris. That is not Mafke the field. It has to be mafka, the field that the people should have the right to trespass. If he's not mafka, the field, they have no right to come in his backyard in order to get the peris. So the Gemara says in the Dorm, not only are the peris hefker, the field is hefker like dekala peris. The field is hefker that the public has the right to come and to take the peris. So the farmer should declare, Hashvi is tish metena, on a tashta, the farmer has a mitzvah to be mafka, the peris. and to be mafka the field with respect to the public having the right to come and take the peiros. So the Yerushalmi darshins, why is the verb repeated? Tishmetenu unetashta. That's a machlekes hatanaim. We must have pointed out machlekes are bekimer amishmal. Do you have the right to assume when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word and letter for letter, so Rabbi Shmuel holds, Dibeter Kedushen Beni Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. He dictated it in the style of speaking, let people talk. When people talk, they repeat themselves a lot. They repeat words unnecessarily. They repeat phrases. They repeat sentences and paragraphs. So there are a lot of extra words in the Chumash that don't necessarily teach you any dinim. We have not accepted Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We assume lo dibeter kedushan ben yadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. Every word and every letter and every phrase has a meaning. So that's one nafkamina is the darshan lishon es kfulim. It says hanik tanik nasim titim pasach tiptach mos yumos. You have a lot of times a word is repeated. Kavatik berena bayamahu. So do you have the right to darshan lishon es kfulim? So we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Lo dibeter kedushan ben yadam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't dictate extra words, extra phrases. So you have the right to darshan lishon es kfulim. So here, why does it say tishmetenu unetashta? So it means not only does the farmer have a mitzvah to be mafke the peiros that grow in Shnas HaShmita in Eretz Yisrael, tishmetenu unetashta, even the other 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, it's a 7-year Shemitah cycle, 11 7-year Shemitah, even during the other 7 years, if he chooses to, if he wants to, he has the right to be mafka anything that he wants. Tishmatena means that he's mechuyav to be mafka the peiros and shnas hashmita. When etashta means yesh lach netisha cherishi kazu, whenever he wants to, whenever anybody wants to, he has property, he can be mafka it. So what's pshat in the institution of hefka? So we usually assume ownerless, just like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, everything was ownerless. And he gave Adam Rishon the right to be kind of up whatever you want and it'll belong to you. So too, if you own something, you can return it back to its original state and making it ownerless. So the Chazon Ish has a suggestion. Maybe he thinks that's not true. Maybe hefka doesn't mean you make it ownerless. Hefka means you makna to the tzibur with respect to the two kinds of ownership of the tzibur. The tzibur owns City Hall. The community, the municipality owns the streets and it should belong to the municipality. No one has a right to block the streets and no one has a right to take away anything from City Hall. It belongs to the municipality. And then there are things that belong to the tzibur that any member of the tzibur has a right to take. Like when a farmer's mafresh truma. So we say, who does the truma before his mafresh truma? He has tevel. All the peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael are tevel. So it belongs to the farmer. He has a mitzvah to be mafresh trumas and maises. When he's mafresh the truma, automatically it belongs to shevet kohanim. Belongs to all the kohanim in the world. And when he's mafresh the maiserishin, it belongs to shevet leviyah. Belongs to all the levim in the world. What do you mean? It belongs to shevet kohuna. It belongs to shevet kohuna. It's a mamon shevet. Maman HaShevet, in the sense that any member of the Shevet has a right to come and take it and make it into his private property. So maybe that's the pshat in Hefker. It's Maman HaTzibur, the individual, not that it reverts back to its original state of being ownerless. Maybe the pshat is that it belongs to the Tzibur, but unlike City Hall and the streets in the village that belong to the municipality, that it should remain in the ownership of the municipality, until the people in the city will vote otherwise. Maybe Hefke belongs to the Tzibur with respect to that any member of the Tzibur has a right to take it for himself. Maybe that's the pshat. And the fact that Hefke is Chal B'dibur, a person just makes a declaration, I hereby declare my property as Hefke. So that teaches us this idea that if you want to give over ownership of your property to the community, to the Tzibur, you can accomplish it without any need for a Maisa Kinyan. The Tzibur has the right to be kind of without any need for a Maisa Kinyan. This idea that the Chazon Ish writes as if he developed this idea on his own, the beginning of his commentary on Orla, really says already in the Ramah in Chosha Mishpat. Chazon Ish doesn't quote it. In Siman Shin Lama Gimel, in Choshen Mishma, deep into it, it's towards the end already of Choshen Mishma. Shin Lama Gimel is the middle of Hilchas Chiras Poyalim. So it says that if I already made a kinyan with a person that I'm going to, let's say I'm a painter or whatever, I'm a carpenter and I do work. So I already made a kinyan with a person. I will do the work for him. I'll paint his apartment. So once he made the kinyan, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to quit in the middle. The Shach disagrees. Pel chazeb afila b'emtza yom. The Gemara says in the first parak in Bab Metzia, I can quit even in the middle of the job, even though I started the job, provided I'm not causing a hefset to the balabais. If I'm going to quit in the middle of the job and cause my hefset, let's say I teach in the yeshiva, I'll quit in the middle so they won't have a rebbe to teach my students. So if it doesn't pose a problem, all of my students will join some other shiur. So then I can quit in the middle, there's no problem. But if you have different shiurim, these children, this is 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, so the 11th grade rebbe is going to quit. They can't put them in the 9th grade. They can't put them in the 12th grade. They have to have this grade. Let's say this grade needs a separate rebbe, and good rebbes are not available. So then you have no right to quit in the middle of the year because you're causing a hefset to the balabas. Or let's say I have to do work on the farm to harvest. I agreed to do work on the farm. So if I'm not going to harvest the peiris and bring it into the house, he may suffer a hefset. It's going to rain. It's going to snow. All the peiris are going to get ruined. So then I have no right to quit in the middle of the job. But if he can replace me, he can get other workers. So then I have a right to quit even in the middle. So the Gemara learns that from the Psukim. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion, the Mechaba quotes Rishon HaMahog, this is only if the worker didn't make a kinyan with the balabais. But if he made a kinyan, so the balabais was kone his obligation from the laborer. He was kone him with respect to the fact that he has to do the work, then the poel cannot quit. The Shach thinks said it's not true. The Shach thinks even if you made a kinyan, you can quit. But the Mechaba holds not so. So that the Ramah has a commentary on the tour. That's called Darkei Moshe. In the big Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah doesn't write anything, but on the tour, on the bottom of the page, he writes it. Most people today don't look in the tour anymore. They just look in the big Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Lama Gimel, quotes this Ramah from the Darkei Moshe. B'medvar Mamurim, when do you say that you need a Maisa Kinyan to prevent the poel from quitting in the middle of the job? Once you made a Maisa Kinyan, he has no right to quit. So this is only if he's working for an individual person or a shutvus of two people. But if you have a shutvus of three or more, you can't really call it a tzibur. It's not the community, but it's called the rabbim. So the Ramah quotes a Mordechai in Bav Metzia. If you're working for three people or more, it's not called a tzibur, but it's called the rabbim. So the rabbim don't need a kinyan. The rabbim is considered, once you committed yourself orally to work for the rabbim, that constitutes a kinyan. You have no right to back out. Or let's say there's a school that's owned by the who's it owned by officially? The board of directors, I guess, owned by the board of directors. Or there's some institution that's owned by a shutvus of three or more people, and they want to buy furniture. They want to buy furniture for the school. And I agree, I have a furniture store, and I agree to sell them whatever, 500 chairs at such and such a price. Then I want to back out. So it says in the Ramah, writes in Choshen Mishma, but he quotes this Mordechai, if the shutvus is three or more, that's called the rabbim, and the rabbim makaina without any need for a Maisa Kinyan. If you made up the price and you said, I'm selling you these 500 chairs for so much money, the chairs already belong to the rabbim, and neither can back out. The kinyan was chal with a rabbim. So it's even a bigger chiddush than what the Chazanish said. The Chazanish said that the municipality, the tzibur, is kaina. And he said that's, and it's learned out from the pasuk tish mentenu and atashta, learned out from the institution of Hefka, because his understanding of Hefka was that it's not that that the situation reverts back to being ownerless, like in Sheshes Mei Bereshis, when the Baruch Hu created everything in the whole wide world, everything is ownerless until people make a kinyan on it. But rather, once it belongs to me, I can't revert back to make it ownerless, but I can be maknet to the tzibur, that any member of the tzibur has a right to take it, like mamon hashevet, like the truma or the ma'aser rishon is mamon shevet kahuna or mamon shevet levia. And this, according to the Ramah, you don't even need that it should be a mamon hatzibur. If it's a rabbim, and that's a question, what's the definition of a rabbim? So the Ramah quotes the Mordechai Bav Metzia, a rabbim is three people or more has the status of a rabbim. So the Menchas Chinuch has a discussion. Is that takaso? What's the definition of a rabbim? Where do we have it? We have it machlokes in Gittin and in Bchoris, neder shehudar bar rabbim. A person took a neder bar rabbim. So there was one opinion. We don't accept it. We don't pass them like this. There was an opinion in the days of the Amoraim, neder shehudar bar rabbim. A person took a neder in public in presence of a rabbim. Ein la hatar ve ein la hafor. He can't be made for the neder. He can't be mata the neder. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. How many people do you need to be called a rabbin? Do you need three or do you need 10? Machlokes is based on psukim and Tanakh. Then the Gemara says we don't paskin like that, but we do paskin a little bit. Neder shuhura al das rabbin. Not neder shuhura bar rabbin. We took a neder in the presence of 3 people or 10 people. No, that yesh la hafor ve yesh la hator. But if the person took a neder al das rabbin, he says, hareni noider al das rabbin. Whatever neder he takes. So that's a machlokes la'alocha, whether 3 or 10. What constitutes a rabbim? So we have, that's one halacha that depends on the din of rabbim. Where do you have another din that depends on rabbim? You have a din, there's a din of a mesis and a mediach. A mesis means ones who tries to, kisis chachicha berimecha. If a yachid tries to convince a yachid to worship Avodah Zarah, that's a din of a mesis. Then a mediach es harabim, if a person tries to convince a whole group of people, a rabbim, to worship Avodah Zarah, so the dinim are slightly different. They're not exactly the same. They're both chayiv misa, but it's a different oinish misa, and the details are not the same. So what would be the definition? Not only is there a din of mediach if he tries to convince the whole city, medichi irani dachas, a whole city, even if it's less than a whole city, if it's mediach es harabim. So how many people do you need to be considered a rabbim? So some achrenim, the Minchas Chinuch quotes from the Sefer, there's a Sefer on the Rambam, Yesh Seder La Mishnah. It's a commentary on the Rambam, on the Mishnah Torah. So he says, this machlokes that the Gemara had, whether rabbim is 3 or rabbim is 10, benegeet and neder shuhudu al das rabbim, would apply in kol ha-Torah kulam, and apply the difference between a mesis and a mediach. Whether you need 3 or you need 10. What's the definition of Rab? So that's a machlokes. That's what the Yeseda La Mishnah says. And the Menchas Chinuch raises an objection. Maybe it's not true. Maybe in Kol HaTorah Kula, Rabim really is if you have 3. And the machlokes, whether 3 or 10, maybe it's on the Menegeet Neder Shuhud Ral Das Rabim, based on a pasuk in Yoshua. Kinish Bulahem Roshe Ha'Eda. Maybe Eda needs 10. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, when there's a difference between a Yochin and a Rabbim, maybe there is no machlokes. Maybe everybody agrees that it should be 3. Akalpanim, that's what the Mordechai says, quoted by the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe. On the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah doesn't quote it. But in the Ramah's commentary on the tour, that's called Darkei Moshe, his name is Moshe Isserles. So the Ramah quotes this Mordechai, that a definition of a Rabbim is 3 people. It doesn't have to be the Tzibur, the municipality, even if it's just a Rabbim. So the rabbim is koine without any need for a ma'aser kinyan. It's a bigger chiddush than what the Chazon Ish said based on this Mishnah. So, hanateh lo rabbim, if a person plants a tree and he gives it, he's planting in his own front lawn, but he makes an oral declaration, he's giving over the tree to the municipality. So that works. His giving it over to the municipality takes effect. And that's a machlokes in the Mishnah, had a darshan machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda Rabban, had a darshan the psukim. Pasuk says, arelim yeh lochem. Lochem in the plural sounds like even barabim, even if it belongs to the municipality. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a ein ribi acharibi ala lamayit, so it doesn't apply. Since you have 2 psukim that say the same thing, kisavayel hoitz unetaitem. Unetaitem is plural. Arem yolachem is plural, so since it says twice the plural, so maybe it's like enri bacharibi elulamayit, that it should not, that the din should not apply if it belongs to the rabbim. So that's the machlokes hatanoi. So again, so you have, if it would only said lo ye achel, I should have said that orla should be also be machil be manu be lechiske be lerabbo. But because it's harem you lachem lachem lachol tzarchechem sholachem you, it sounds like it should be mutabano. So that's why I need the three. The word should be written three times, arelim, arelim, varaltam, alos, arelim, yelachem, three times to tell you that it is also bahano. But that's what the Gemara says. And now Tosis asks the Kasha, the Tosis on Chav Beis and Beis is bothered with the Kasha, why do you need a pasuk shaloi yitzababo? You shouldn't use it for dying. Once you have the first pasuk arelim, that it's also bahano. So of course shaloi yitzababo. So Tosis answers, that you're not allowed to take the dye from the orla and dye a garment with it. That's also bano. That I don't need a second pasuk. I need a second pasuk to tell me like this. A goyish company did this. They didn't ask kashilas. The din of orla applies even bishalakum, even if the farm belongs to an anju, even if the trees belong to an anju. Orla doesn't apply to vegetables, only to fruits that grow on a tree. The fruits grow on a bush, berries that grow on a bush. That's a machlekes bisham and bisilu. Whether a bush is dinik a tree or not, we pass like bisilu. A bush is also a tree. That on berries that grow on a bush, he say bari pihoetz. That's a din derabanan. And on berries that grow on a bush, there is a din of orla. That's a din deraisa. It's not a vegetable. That's not subject to orla. It's considered a tree. So Tosa says. Tosa says, if I'm going to take the dye from the pigment from the peris and dye a garment with it, that's an act of getting hanoah. So I'm getting hanoah from the orla. We're talking about Goyish company has orla, and they already dyed the suit. I'm going to buy the suit. I know they use the pigment from orla fruits. When I wear the suit that has a dye in the cloth, is it considered as if I'm getting hanoah from the orla also? Or no? So Tosa said, that's a discussion in Baba Kama and Daf Kuf Aleph, that there's room to say, Chazus ala milsehi. The dye is absorbed in the garment, and I'm getting hanoah from the garment. So the dye isn't bien anymore. If the dye is bien and I use it to dye the garment, so I'm getting hanoah from the dye. But someone else did it. I didn't do it. The question is that, if I wear the garment and I get on off in the fact that it has a color, I like the color. I picked it specially. I wouldn't want to wear the beged if it doesn't have any color in the jacket. Is that considered getting on off from the dye? No, chazus alav milsi. It's not a separate entity. So there would have been room to argue the point and say, chazus alav milsi. That's not called getting on off from the dye. That's why I need a pasuk. Shelo yitzaba bo. That shelo yitzaba, you're not allowed to dye. That I don't need a pasuk. That's because it's also b'ano. But they're not allowed to wear the beged. That either you learn out from here to call out tarkul chazus and milsehi, or you say, no, this is an exception to the rule. Usually chazus ala milsehi, and it's over here an exception to the rule. So that's the question there in Baba Kama Kuf Aleph. Can you derive from this pasuk call out tarkul chazus and milsehi? Or no, call out tarkul chazus ala milsehi, and this is the exception to the rule. Fine. So that half of the Tosis beyond the same. But then Tosis wants to know, what's the next, the third Arelim? The first Arelim tells you that it's also Bahanoah. Shouldn't think based on Lachem that Orla is Muta Bahanoah. The first Arelim tells you Asmanah. The second Arelim tells you that even though one could have argued the point, Chazus ala milsehi, you're not allowed to wear the garment because you're getting Hanoah. Either it teaches you on Kala Tarukula, Chazusa is milsehi, I treat it as if it's Bien, or it's an exception to the rule here. But what's the third one? The third Arelim tells me, Shelo Yadlik Bo, that you're not allowed to use it as, let's say I have oil, let's say I have Shemen Zayis that can serve as fuel. I put in a wick in a bowl of Shemen Zayis and I light it, and the fuel gets absorbed in the wick and it keeps on burning for a long time, and I read, it gives me illumination at night. Shelo Yadlik Esaner, with the shemen from the orla peris that grew on the tree in the first 3 years that I planted it. So why do I need a pasuk on that? Isn't that outright getting hanoah from the shemen? So Tosis explains, v'chein hadloka, the 10 lines into the Tosis minayin on Chav Beis HaMeis. So first they explain why he needed pasuk shalai tzababo. Then they say, why do you need a pasuk shalai yadlik boyas aner? V'chein hadlok and salka daitach, if not for the extra pasuk arelam, I would have thought the sharia, it's mutar lahadlikim and the habi derech biuro. What does that mean, habi derech biuro? So if you look in the Tosfos Shans, they explain it a little better. We have a pasuk by the Mishnah in the end of Tmura, next to the last Mishnah in Tmura, lists off all the Yisuri HaNor and says which ones of the Yisuri HaNor are Nisrafim and which of them are Nikbar. So Orlon Klar Karaman Nisrafim. How do you know that? What's the difference whether Nisrafim or Nikbarim? So the Tosfos on the previous daf quoted, Tosfos quotes on the Mishnah in the end of Tamura, and it says it's Lekamon Dav Chav Zayinim and Beis. Also, it's quoted here in the Sugya that there's a major difference between the Nisrafim and Nikbarim. On Nisrafim, after you burn it, Orlon Klaya Kerem on Nisrafim. So Afra Muta, the ashes that are left afterwards, Amuta Bahano. But if it's Nikbarim, it's not Nisrafim, Afra Nasa. So the Mishnah lists off that Orlon Klar Kerem on Nisrafim. How do they know? So by Kloy HaKerem, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to plant Karmuchol HaSizik Kalayim, Pentugdash HaMaleya, how does that, Pentigdash HaMaleya Azera Shetiz HaTvos HaKorim. So the Pasuk says, Pentigdash, lest it'll become Osabahanoah. But the Torah Shebaal Peh has an additional level of interpretation, a drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh, Pentuk Adesh. If you let the Kloy HaKerem grow, then it's Tukadesh, then you have to burn it. So the Pasuk doesn't say. The Rosh of the Torah Shebaal Peh, Darshans, on the Pasuk that speaks about Kloy HaKerem, Tukadesh, it's Min HaNisrafim. That's only by Kloy HaKerem. How do you know that Orla is also Tukadesh? There is no Pasuk by Orla. So Rashi and Tosfos both write in the very end of Tmura, in the last Amud Beis. Tmura ends on an Amud Aleph, but it's next to the last Mishnah in Tmura, the last Amud Beis in Maseches Tmura. So Rashi and Tosfos both say there's some kind of a drasha somewhere, they don't know where it is, some kind of a drasha somewhere that makes a connection between Orlon Klai HaKerem. That just like Klai HaKerem is Tukadesh, so to Orla is also Tukadesh. It's min hanisrafim, and therefore hanisrafim afram mutam. So that's what Tosfos suggests. It's not min hanigborim, not like basa b'chol, we just have to dispose of it. No, it's min hanisrafim. That's the first suggestion that Tosfos gives. Chein hadlake, why do they need a third pasuk garelim to tell you shalei adlik bayas haner, salka daitach disharia? I would have thought that is mutal lahadlik haner. Why? Kevin havi derech biura. Since Orla is min hanisrafim, learned that from some pasuk somewhere. Rashi and Tosfos don't know what the pasuk is, but they said there must be a drasha somewhere. The Gemara never mentions it, that Orla is min hanisrafim. So I would have thought that you're permitted to burn the Orla for the purpose of causing illumination at night if it's dark. I can take the Shemesh al Orla and burn it because I'm mekayim the mitzvah of Tukadesh. Even though I'm getting Hanoah while it's burning, I would have thought that's included in the Heter. Since you have to burn it, that's Derech Havora. That's the first suggestion that Tosfos gives. V'chein hadloka, I need the third pasuk, salka daitach disharia, I would have thought it's muta. I would have thought that it's muta. Then they give another suggestion. Ulaman di omer, ein shvach etzim bepas, dushori etzim behadloka. What is that discussion? So it says on the side, on the margin, lekamon chavov emebeis, there's a machlokes hatanoim, whether yeshvach etzim bepas, ein shvach etzim bepas. What's going on here? So that's a big machlokes harishonim. What is the whole topic that we're discussing? So Tosfos, there's machlokes Tosfos in the Ran. So Tosfos is of the opinion that yesh v'chetzim bepas doesn't apply only to pas, to bread, which is baked. Tosfos' opinion is it even applies if you have, where do you have logs that are osa b'hanor? What do you have? Eitzim that are asamano. So Tosfos is going to show that Kloy HaKerem, even the branches are asamano. Okay, that's going to be the next daf. That's going to be the next daf on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll get to that. So if you have branches, kashin shel kloy hakerem, the branches of kloy hakerem arasa manua. If it bake, so the question is, if I bake the bread, or if I cooked, let's say I had raw meat, people don't eat raw meat. For raw vegetables, let's say, people don't eat raw potatoes. The behemoths eat raw potatoes. The people only eat cooked potatoes. So Tosfos learns, if I cook the vegetables, I have a potato kugel, and I baked it, or I have the meat, and I cooked it with the fire. So do you say that since the fire was from Kloy HaKerem Eitzim, you are, by you eating the meat or the bread, you are indirectly getting Hanoah from the Kloy HaKerem. Are you in violation of Yisrei Hanoah? So Tosfos says the whole Machlek is Satanan, whether Yesh Vach Eitzim Epas only applies by Yisrei Hanoah. If you have something, the fuel that's burning, the fire came from fuel that's burning, but that fuel is only Asa Bachila, it's not Asa Hanoah, then there's no question. Of course you can eat the Pas. If the fuel, if the Eitzim are Asa Hanoah, then it's a question, you'll eat the bread or the flesh or the kugel that was cooked or the raw vegetables. It's a food that you will never eat in the raw state. You only eat it when it's cooked. So you eat it when it's cooked. Is that considered as if you indirectly are getting Hanoah from the Kloy HaKerem or not? That's the Machloikas. Yesh v'cheitzim epas, ein shvacheitzim epas. The Pnei Yeshua points out it could be the whole discussion is only on a level of the Rabbanon. Could be it's not a Shaila on the level of the Reis. Could be on the level of the Reis, for sure. That's Gram Hanoah. That's indirect Hanoah. Right now, the Noma Orla, what is it? Kloy HaKerem. The Kloy HaKerem doesn't exist anymore now. Originally, when I baked the kugel, or when I baked the bread, Yesh V'cheitzim Epas, I made pas, or I cooked the vegetables, or I cooked the flesh. Originally, there was Kloy HaKerem fuel. So the one who's using the Kloy HaKerem as fuel is violating in Surah Hanoah to use it as fuel. He violated something wrong. But now the question is, am I allowed to eat the pas? Am I allowed to eat the food that was cooked? So is that considered indirectly getting Hanoah? So it could be, even if it's indirect, that's Gram Hanoah. It could be that that's only Midrabbanan. That's a question. This Machlokes HaTanaim is on a level of the Reis, on a level of the Rabbanan. This remains to be seen. But this is, so that's a Machlokes, that's a Machlokes. On Chavov and Mebeis. The Ran disagrees with Tosfos. The Ran quotes the Tosfos, and he disagrees with Tosfos. He says, Tosfos says the whole topic only applies by Yisrei Hanoah because it's a discussion by your eating this kugel or this bread. Are you indirectly, is it considered as if you are indirectly getting Hanoah from the Yisrei Hanoah? So the Ran disagrees. He says it even applies to Yisrei Achila. It doesn't only apply to Yisrei Hanoah, but it only applies if you bake the bread. So the bread has the Panim Chadoshes. If you have raw dough, that's one consistency. When you bake it, it's a whole different Panim Chadoshes Bo'o L'Kan. So the Ran says, it's not a topic of, are you considered indirectly getting Hanoah from the Kloy HaKerem? It's a question, is it Yotzim in Ha'asim? Yotzim in Ha'asim is the original Pasuk is in Chumash. The Torah lists off which are the non-kosher birds. The Gemara explains, Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara Chulin, most of the birds in the world, there are thousands and thousands of kinds of birds in the world. So most of the birds are kosher. So the Torah only lists off the non-kosher birds. If you know that this bird is non-kosher, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Torah says, Bas haya ano, the female ostrich. Is there such a thing that the female bird is treif and the male bird is kosher? The Gemara said, that's ridiculous. If the female is treif, the male is also treif. So what does it mean in the Chumash, Bas haya ano? The Gemara says it refers to Beitza Saif Tomei. If the female bird lays an egg, so not only are you not allowed, let's say birds are fleshig midrabbana, chicken is fleshig midrabbana, but the hen lays an egg, the egg is parva. So you see, the egg does not have the same status. It's not flesh, it's not bisar, oif. The egg is parva. So one might have thought that just like if a hen lays an egg, the egg is not fleshig. The egg is not fleshig. The egg is parvus. I would have thought if an eagle lays an egg or an ostrich lays an egg, a non-kosher bird lays an egg, would have thought just because the ostrich is treif, the egg is not treif. The egg is a parva and kosher parva, should be okay. So that's why I need a pasuk. Basaya ano beitza soif tome is also bachila. That's the original pasuk. Yotzim and atome tome, and it applies also if you have a pig and the pig gives off milk, or you have a horse. Any non kosher animal gives off milk, so the milk will be also. We spoke the other day about dam. If you have an animal which is a treifa, and it's producing dam while it's alive, it's a treifa. An animal while it's alive can't be an avela. It only becomes an avela after it's dead. After it's dead, it doesn't produce any more blood. But while the animal is alive, if it's a treifa, while it's walking around, we know that it has a broken leg in such a way. We know that it has a hole in the lung in such a way. We took an x-ray. We know that this animal has a hole in the lung, and it's a treifa. It's not going to live so long. It's going to live another couple of months, and it's going to die within a year. So that's a treifa. So if the treifa produces milk or the treifa produces blood, so that should be a yotzei min hatamei is tamei. That's learned out from the pasuk basayano, that beitza soif tamei is awesome. So that's what the Ran learns, maybe on a level of the Raisa, maybe on a level of the Rabbanan. If you have fuel that's either asab achila or asab anor, even if it's only asab achila, it doesn't have to be asab anor, and you use it to bake a bread. So after you bake the bread, yesh v'chetz mipas, it's a totally different consistency. It's not like raw. If you have meat or you have potatoes, and we don't eat raw meat or raw potatoes, we eat only cooked. So it's a little difference. You can't really call it panim chadashes bo'o lekan. So you don't say that the meat that's cooked and the kugel that's cooked and the potatoes that are cooked are going to be considered a yotze min hatamei from the fuel that was non-kosher. It's not such a major difference. It's edible now because I cooked it. It tastes better. But if you're going to bake the raw dough and make it into bread, that's like a panim chadashes bo'o lekan. So that's the Ran learns that that's the discussion. That's the machlokes hatanaim. Whether yesh v'chetzim epas, not that by eating the bread that was baked with the logs that were kloy hakerem, you're indirectly getting hanor from the kloy hakerem. Kloy hakerem doesn't exist anymore. How can you say you're getting hanor from the kloy hakerem? It's completely consumed now. No, it's a shayla of yotzim and atomi. So he says it's restricted only yesh v'chetzim epas ba'afiyah. Not bebishul. Bebishul, that's not no discussion of yotzim min atomi. Maybe afia, since it's a panu chadashes bo lekan, maybe that should be considered a form of yotzim min atomi. It sounds very much, maybe the whole topic is only on a level of the rabbanon. On the level of the rice, you're going to say that it's the same as beitza soif tomi. You're going to say it's the same as chola beima tomeya, a chola of a treifa. Probably only on the level of the rabbanon. That's the opinion. You should raise that question. On the whole sugya later in Psachim, where the Yesh v'chetzim epas, this machlekes hatanaim, is that on the level of the Raisa, on the level of the Rabbanim? So what does Tosfos suggest over here? Ulamandi Omar, and according to the opinion, ein shvachetzim epas, the shari eitzim bahadloke. That if you would use logs that are asa bahanoah, if you're going to burn fuel that's asa bahanoah, it will not have an effect on the bread that's baked in it. Hodi asa kro hocha heine b'shem and dahavi b'yen kishadolik b'ner avol eitzim nasim gecholim al shal heves bo min ha gecholim. What are they distinguishing? They're saying if you have logs, then there's a discussion whether yesh v'chetzim epas or not. Why? Because the heat only comes after the logs are converted into coals and they're consumed by the flames. So then the bien of the logs is converted into energy, into the heat. So that's a machlokes and there's an opinion, yesh v'chetzim epas. But if you have shemen lahadloke, so Tosfos thinks the shemen gives, when you burn it, the shema gives illumination when you're burning fuel. So the fuel gives illumination when it's in the state of liquid, when it's in the state of shema. That even though there's an opinion, there's a machlokes, even though half of the Tanaim hold ein shvachetzim epas, that it's already converted into gecholim before you get the hanoah, but by shema it wouldn't be so. I'm not sure exactly why Tosfos thinks it is different. Shema should be the same. after the shemen is consumed, then it gives illumination. Matter cannot be destroyed nor created, but you can convert it from one form to the other. Convert the yen into energy. You can convert the shemen into flame. It gets consumed. After it gets consumed, then it becomes a flame. I don't see why Tosfos saw that there's a difference. That's a shaila. So Tosfos says they're asking Akasha. Once you know that the orla is osabano, so I understand why I need a pasuk to say shaloi yitzaba, but you shouldn't use it for dying. I would have thought chazusa la milsi, so kamash malan, that over here, at least either over here on kol atarkul chazusa milsi, I consider as if it's been. What do you need the next pasuk for? Shaloi yadlik bas on air. So Tosfos gave the two explanations. Either because it's a mitzvah to burn it, you learn out some kind of a connection between orla and klei akerem, just like klei akerem is b'sreifa, pentugash, tukadesh, just like klei akerem is b'sreifa, orla is also b'sreifa. So I would have thought that if you're fulfilling the mitzvah of sreifa, you should be muta get hanor from it. So kamash malan, you're not allowed to. Or the second suggestion is that maybe I should say, ein shvach etzem mipas. So just like ein shvach etzem mipas, not considered getting hanor from the etzem, maybe I would have thought it's not considered getting hanor from the shemen. So kamash malan, that it's not the same. I'm not so sure why Tosfos thinks that's true, that by shemen you get hanor from the bien. Hashem came by the gecholim, you don't get hanor from the logs, you get hanor from after it's already consumed. My understanding, I don't know physics, my understanding would have been the book to say. On the previous daf, on daf chafala from the base, the Gemara comments on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, Ere Pesach eftach hatzois min ha-Torah, lo yasek bo tana b'kirayim, you're not allowed to get hanor from the chometz. And the last hour before Chatzos is also at the Rabbanon, it's also Bano, lo yasek bo tana b'kirayim. So the Gemara says, Pshita. The Mishnah says, the Chometz after Chatzos, and an hour before Chatzos is also Bano. Mishnah clearly doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosef Glili, who says, there is no such thing. The Chometz b'Pesach is Mutar Bano. Mishnah holds that it's also Bano. So it's also Bano, so of course, lo yasek bo tana b'kirayim. So the Gemara says, no, it's a Chiddush. And the Mishnah, whether Chametz b'Pesach is min Hanis Rafim or not. So if you hold like Rabbi Yudah, Hanis Rafim Avram Mutar, so one might have thought that it's Mutar l'hasek botani b'kirayim, because only after it gets consumed, and then the din is Hanis Rafim Avram Mutar. After you already burnt in Nisrafim, it turns into ashes, then the ashes will be Mutar b'ano. So if the din is like the Chachamim, the Hashbasasa b'chol dover, Chametz b'Pesach is not min hanisrafim, then Afron ashes will be yosa. But if you hold like Rabbi Yudah, and it's a shaila how we paskin, Tosfos says later, possibility, maybe the din is like Rabbi Yudah, that Chametz b'Pesach is min hanisrafim, because the Mishnah always says, sarfim etchila sheish. Sounds from the Mishnah, he said, you do paskin like Rabbi Yudah. Then we paskin against Rabbi Yudah, but out of respect for the Shita's Balei HaTosfos, that some of the Balei HaTosfos held the dinners like Rabbi Yudah. So that's why we are mahadah to try to burn the Chometz to satisfy that opinion. But Mikradim, we really paskin like the Chachamim to Rabbi Yudah, the Hashbasasa b'chol dor. So that's what Tosfos interprets. Ma'udit Tema, if the din would be like Rabbi Yudah, that Chometz b'Pesach is min hanisrafim, that Afram Mutar, so one might have thought, Afram Mutar? So it's Mutar l'hasek bo tana b'kirayim, because Afram Mutar. Kamash malon, that you're not allowed to. So why taka, you're not allowed to? So there are two ways to read. So the Tosfos, here Rabbi Kevegan tells you to look in the Tosfos on Hey Amid Aleph, and the Gilyan Asha. So the Tosfos on Hey Amid Aleph, the bottom Tosfos says, the bottom Tosfos says, "V'hod this not the parakol shochafalim manafli yas b'tanim kiraim ha'inam id the rabbanon." But really, on the level of the rice, it's hanisraf ma'afram mutter, and it's really mutter because you don't get hanoah from the chametz that you're burning. You're using chametz as the fuel. You're burning chametz, and then you're baking something. You're baking kosher the pesach bigger food with the heat that comes from this fuel. So Tosfos says minater it's mutter. Because on Israf and Mafra Mutter, it's only awesome with the Rabbanon. That's what Tosfos writes on Hey Amid Aleph, the bottom Tosfos Dima Maschel, Uchsiv, or Dima Maschel Yoimer, whatever the Dima Maschel should be. And another way to read the Tosfos over here is no, it's only Hanisrafim Aframut after it turns into ashes already. But Gecholim is not the same as Efer when it's still Gecholim, so you're still getting Hanoah from the Chametz. Maybe only if it turns into ashes, then you say Avram Mutter. Because man is Gecholim, then it could be that it's still us. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. On Chav Gimla Med Aleph, Gemara is running through with this machlag is Chizkiah and Rabbi Abohu, whether you ask to say lo ye yochel to imply that it's also banor, or if it says lo sechlu, lo yochlu, it's also understood that it's also banor. So the Gemara raises the question, what about truma? We have a beferish in Mishnah, ma'avila nazir bayan yisrael betruma. You see that truma is mutabanor, you see that yayin for a nazir is mutabanor. So the Gemara says truma is mutabanor, even though it says you're not allowed to eat truma, kolzar lo yochel kodesh, because it says truma aschem. The Chaf Mem has the connotation Shalachem Tehe, it's Mutabano. You're not allowed to feed it to your behemoth because that's Hanor Shal Kilui. That's what Tosis explained earlier. But to be Ma'arvil and also beyond, we saw the Truma, to use it for an Erebe Trumin, that's called getting Hanor from the Truma, that's Muta. That's that kind of Hanor. It's not Hanor Shal Kilui. It won't make it impossible later to give it to the kohen that he should eat it. So truma is mutabano. The same thing yayin for a nazir, because it says nizro. Since it says nizro, so shalo yehei, so it's mutabano. Fine. Then the Gemara Sekasha Bahari Chadosh. The Mishnah says in Menachos, Berak Rabbi Shmuel Menachos, that machal behema, you're permitted to feed chadosh to your behema. It's mutabano. So Gemara asks, but it says, that pasuk should be a machlokes chizkiah v'rabbo. It doesn't say lo se yochel. It says lo sochlu. So according to Rabbi Bo, chodesh should be also mano. It says beferish, it's machle behema, it's mutabano. So Gemara says shani hasim, because it says kitzirchem shalachem yehi. Chodesh is mutabano. What does it mean kotzer l'shachas? What do the words mean kotzer l'shachas? So Rashi and Tosfos explain. There are two dinim in Chodesh. There's an isi. Chodesh means whatever Chodesh applies to the chameshes mine dogan. Doesn't apply to other fruits and vegetables. Chodesh means if you have one of the chameshes mine dogan, wheat, barley, oats, rice, spelt, one of the chameshes mine dogan was planted, so you're not allowed to be kotzer Chodesh before ktsiras ha'omer. The ktsiras ha'omer is called reishis ktsirchem. If you're going to harvest something else, you're going to cut off other tvua. Even though the omer is only bo min ha-sa'orim, the omer has to be from barley, but you're not allowed to harvest any of the chameshes mini dogon. I think we better check there in Menachos. The isa eating chodosh applies befamish to all the chameshes mini dogon. What about the isa of harvesting chodosh? I don't remember. We should take a look there. I think it also applies to all the chameshes mini dogon. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it only applies to barley. So there are two explanations why you're not allowed to harvest tvua before ketziras ha'omer. Either because then the omer will not be reishis ketzirchem. So the minute the Bez Nagadol already supervised the harvesting of the chodosh of the ketziras ha'omer, then the night of the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. And Eretz Yisrael is one day Pesach. So Matzoy Yontav Rishon Shal Pesach is when they do Ktziras HaOmer and they makrev the Minchas HaOmer on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. So there's a Tosfos learns there in Menachos Perek Rabbi Shmuel that there's a machlokes ha'moraim. When does it become muta to harvest Tvua Chadosha? Does it become muta Leil Laila the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach after he already did Ktziras HaOmer? So the Ksiris HaOmer is Reishis Ketzirchem, right? So there's no more problem. What do you say? No, it's an Issa Chodosh. You have to wait till you makriv the Omer in the morning of the first day in the Beis HaMikdash. When you makriv the Minchas HaOmer, they're just like HaKrovas Minchas HaOmer is Matir Achilas Chodosh all over the world. It's also Matir Ketziras Chodosh in Eretz Yisrael. Ketziras Chodosh is only also in Eretz Yisrael. Mutam Chutzlar, that's a Mishnah. Yeah. So the Mishnah says, Koitzo l'shachas. If the Tvua didn't yet have Habu Ashlish, then it's called Eitz. then it's called Eitz B'Alma. So you're allowed to cut off wood. But if you already had Havo Ashlish, so then if you harvest it, then it's called Ketziras Tvua. But if you harvest it before Havo Ashlish, then it's not called Ketziras Tvua. What's the definition of Havo Ashlish? That is a question. That's a question that Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to the Sefer Malbusha Yontif. He wasn't so familiar with the Achrenim, but that's one of the few Achrenim that he was familiar with. The author of the Malbusha Yontif was a rabbi in Chaslavich. That's where he was born. So he was familiar with that Sefer because it was in the Beis Medrash all the time. Because the rabbi who wrote the Sefer lived in Chaslavich, was the rabbi in Chaslavich. Rav Soloveitchik's father was a rabbi in Chaslavich after. So he was familiar with this. So the Malbusha Yontif discusses the following major discussion, Shaila. What's the definition of Havo Ashlish? The Tvua grew 1/3 of the full size that it will be when it'll be fully grown? Or does it mean it's growing in the ground 1/3 of the time that it needs? Because the growing process speeds up later. The last couple of weeks, it grows much faster than earlier. So if it's 1/3 of the size, that's going to be a later stage. If it's 1/3 of how long it has to sit in the ground, then it's going to be way before the 1/3 of the size. So that's a suffix that the Malbusha Yontif discusses. So if that's what the Mishnah says, kotzer l'shachas, usually there's a din, not only as chadash asa b'achil, chadash means the tvor that was printed after last Pesach. Whatever was planted in the ground after last Pesach, you have to wait till next Pesach, till you bring the Mincha Soima next Pesach to be allowed to eat it. That's the Pasuk. You're not allowed to eat Chodosh. Whatever took root, if Hishrish, if it took root before Mincha Soima of last year, then it's Yoshan. But if it didn't take root, I planted it after Chol HaMoed Pesach, then it's have to wait till next Pesach till you bring the Mincha Soima, that it should be Muta B'Achilo. And you're not allowed to harvest any tvua after Havo Ashlish. But if the tvua didn't have Havo Ashlish yet, that's called Kotzer L'Shachas. You're permitted to harvest it, even though you're doing a regular, to do Kituf, Rashi and Tosafos say, if you pluck it with your fingers, that's not called Kitzira. So then the Mincha Soima will still be Reishis Kitzirchem. Reishis Kitzirchem, you're going to harvest it with a sickle, with a magel. Magel, the representative of the Bez Nagodol, who does the Kitzira Soimer, they used to do in public. They used to have a whole public maimed. Matzah yontav rishon shel Pesach, the night leil yom malav shel Chol HaMoed Pesach. All the people from neighboring villages would gather together. Bez Nagodol would announce in advance where the Ketziras Haim is going to take place, and everybody would come together in order to demonstrate that we don't follow the karoim, the tzdukim, and the baisheni. They had tzdukim. Only followed Pshut HaShem Mikra. They didn't follow the Torah Shabbal Peh. So there were years that they were running the Beis HaMikdash. They would always do the Ketziras HaOmer on Matzoi Shabbos, Mimochas HaShabbos, Lehem HaVeach HaMesayim HaTnufa. So they would always harvest the Omer on a Matzoi Shabbos or on a Sunday morning. So the Bez Nagodol would on most of the time, the first day Pesach does not fall out on Shabbos. But most of the time, it's the wrong day. To do the Ketziras HaOmer always on Matzoi Shabbos is the wrong day. So the Bez Nagodol would always advertise in advance when they're going to do Ketziras HaOmer and have all of the villagers from the neighboring villages come together. And the representative of the Bez Nagodol would say, even though tonight is not Matzoi Shabbos, we're still going to do Ketziras HaOmer. And should I harvest it with the sickle? And should I put it into this sack? And he would have everything. He would say three times and everybody would say, yes, we follow the Torah Shabbal Peh. There were many years that the Beis HaMikdash was run by Kohanim who belonged to the Tzdukim. So they didn't follow the Torah Shabbal Peh. But then when the Chachamim succeeded in kicking out all of the Tzdukim from the Beis HaMikdash, then they made a Yontif. That's one of the Yamim Tovim listed in the Megillah Steinis. That's Itoikim Chagadu Shavuaya. When the Yontif of Shavuos was established, that it's Shavuos is 7 weeks after the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, whatever day of the week it happens to be. Shavuos is not always going to be an extended weekend. Not always going to be on a Sunday. So that's what the first part of this Mishnah means. Koitze l'shachas. There's no prohibition to do ktsira if it didn't have havo ashlish yet. But even after havo ashlish, and you're not allowed to do ktsira until you do the harvesting of the chod of the omer. So the omer is labeled as reishis ktsirachem, or you have to wait till the hakravas minchas omer. Tosis learned that's a machlokes in the Gemara, because it's an isur chodesh, not just because we want that the omer should be reishis ktsirachem. It's an isur chodesh, just like all the chodesh is also bachila, it's also biktsira, and the matter of chodesh is the hakravas minchas omer in the morning of the first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So that's what the Gemara learns out from a pasuk. Ketzirchem shalachem tehei. The chodesh is mutabahano. Okay. Chodesh is mutabahano. Then the Gemara asks, harish rotzim. What about non-kosher animals? Let's say you have pork. So pork is also bachila, but it's mutabahano. What do you mean mutabahano? So I can be in the pork business. I can sell. The Gemara says, no. There's a Mishnah in Shviyas that says that you're not allowed to be and you're not allowed to do schor b'macholos asuris. You can't have a butcher shop where you sell nevela meat all the time. If you have a butcher shop, you hire a shechet to shecht for you. So then once in a while, the shechet will by accident make it a nevela. Once in a while, the animal will turn out to be a trefa. So you're not expected to be mafka, the animal. Nevela and trefa is mutabano. So that's called nizdamnu. If it bimikre, it turns out that it's a nevela or a trefa. So he permitted to sell. Let's say my father died. My father had a non-kosher butcher shop. He did wrong. Keneged adin. So the minute my father dies, I have to be mafker all of the thousands of dollars worth of flesh. And I have to sell it. I don't have to mafker it. If it's nizdamnu lo, I don't want to go into the non-kosher field. But if I got it be Yerusha, then I'm allowed to sell it. I'm not mechuyev to be mafker it. But to be kavua in that business, bekvias, that you're not allowed to do. So that's what the Gemara asks. The pasuk says, "Shekutzu lo yeyachel." The word "lo yeyachel," that construction should be ben lechiske ben lerabavol, should imply that it's also bahano. And the Mishnah says, "If nizdam dalahem minim tameim," if accidentally I caught non-kosher animals, I'm allowed to sell it to the goyim. It's mutabano. I bet it says "lo yeyachel." So the Gemara says, no, shiny house, I'm going to call lachem. Shekesu lachem. Lachem means lachol tzarchechem, that it's mutabahano. Frag the Gemara, no, if it's mutabahano, so why is it? So why is it you're not allowed to be in a non-kosher meat business? If it's shalachem, it's mutabahano. The Gemara says, no, to do it bikvi is a zoster, and to do it bikroi is mutabahano. So that's what we mentioned. That's a machlokes achrenim. This distinction between bikvias and mikra sounds like it's a dinder rabbanon. Sounds like a dinder rabbanon. Tosis writes here beferish. Dibra maskal omakro. Tosis writes, hodi osa mideraisa. Tosis says, Tosis learns that it's a dinderaisa. It's not an asmachta mideraisa. But some achrenim in Yerideh. Hamma machlokes the taz. Says he gets the impression that it's only the rabbanon. Not like Tosis says that it's. That it's their isa. Because it doesn't sound like a dinder isa, that you're not allowed to be in the business bikvias, but bikroi, it's mutabahano. Sounds like a dinder rabbanon, yeah. Tosis explains that Tosis here, omakro. Tosis quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that this whole din, you're not allowed to be in a non-kosher business, that's only if you're raising pigs in order to make pork that the non-Jew should eat it. But if you're raising pigs in order to use the hide to make footballs, or you're raising horses and the horses are going to be for horse racing or for traveling purposes, not for eating the flesh, so then Tosfos said, there's no issa. The whole issa, schar b'macholos asuris, is only if it's oimed l'achila. It's not oimed l'achila, so the whole din doesn't apply. So that's what Tosfos is bothered with Akasha, and they just gave the teretz. There is a Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Beis, the end of Perek Meruba, the very end of Perek Meruba. The Gemara gives a whole historical background for the Gzera de Rabbanon. The Chachamim made a declaration, Or Sheigal Adam Chazerim. They cursed. The Chachamim made a prohibition, you're not allowed to raise pigs, and whoever raises pigs should be cursed. So Tosfos says it's an issa deraisa not allowed to raise pigs because the macholas asuris. What did they have to make an oror? What did they have to add on an oror? It's also min haTorah anyway. So Tosfos answers, no, the issa deraisa is only hainu limka lanachri lechol. If you're going to sell it, you're going to raise pigs in order to make money to sell it lachila, to sell pork that people are going to eat. But if you're going to use the hides to make footballs, or you're going to use the oil from the animal to as grease, not for food purposes, for other purposes, then it's muta. And with the Rabbanan, they prohibit it, even if you're raising the pigs for other purposes. It's still awesome. The last line in Tosfos is problematic. We have to check. I think I checked. I didn't understand. How does this appear in the Tosfos Shatz, Tosfos Rashbon? Inami, what do you need the Issa de Rabbana for? It's an Issa de Raisa. Tosfos says, Inami bin Izdam de Lokan Shanafl Birusha. My father was not religious. My father had a farm of Chazerim. And he violated the din. So if the father dies and the son is Baal Tshuva, the son is religious. So the din min haTorah, that's Nizdam de Lo. So he doesn't have to be mapker all of the whole pig farm. He should sell all the pigs, make sure he gets a good price and sell all the pigs. So the Rabbanan, they asked it even that. Still ain't legadlam. What do you mean ain't legadlam? But he's allowed to sell it. Ain't legadlam, he's not allowed to keep it to raise that they should multiply, have more and more. That's awesome in our Torah also. In this damna, you have to get rid of it as soon as possible. So I don't understand what the last answer in Tosfos is. What do they add on? Also, legadol chazerim, the issa that they made. The Gemara says toward the end of the Baisheni period, there were two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. They were vying with each other who should be the king over Eretz Yisrael. So one of them had the Beis Hamikdash, and the other one, they were all, if you can call it religious, they were crazy, but they were religious, so they believed in bringing karbonis. So every day, one of them had the control of the Beis Hamikdash, the other one was outside of the Beis Hamikdash. The whole Beis Hamikdash was under siege. So the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash sent a message to the people outside, give us Tamidim U'Masafim. Every day we have to bring Tamidim U'Masafim. So every day they would lower money from the Beis Hamikdash, outside the Beis Hamikdash, and those outside, the Jews outside the Beis Hamikdash, would hoist an animal to be makriv for the Tamidim U'Masafim. Until finally someone said, Kozman, they're going to do Kozman, the Kohanim inside the Beis Hamikdash, they're going to have the schutz of Akrabas, Tamidim U'Masafim, so we won't win the war against them. We want to fight a war in order to win. So don't keep on supplying the people inside with karbonis. So the next day, when it was time to send up Shnei Kvasim Ben Hashanah Tamimim for the Oil HaStamid, so they sent up a pig. So when the pig stuck its hoofs into the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, the whole Eretz Yisrael shook. And then from that time on, they weren't able to be makriv anymore karbonis. So at that time, the Chachamim cursed anyone who raised pigs. That's the historical background. So Tosfos says, why do they have to make an Issa Derabbanan? It's an Issa Deraisa. Tosfos understood that it's an Issa Deraisa to do Schar B'Macholos Asuris. So Tosfos says, it adds on, even in the case Nizdam Dolo. My father was not religious and he had non-kosher butcher shops. So when he dies and I get it Birusha, so that's Nizdamnu. So I have a right to sell everything. Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to. Is that true? That Midrabbanan, you're not allowed to be Megadil. Ain't Legadlam. You're not allowed to raise them and continue raising more Vladis and more Vladis. You have to sell all the inventory that you have. You're not supposed to. So what do they say that they changed it, Midrabbanan? Who says they changed it, Midrabbanan? I don't understand what Tosfos said. Anyway, this is a big shayla halacha lemaisa. How serious a din is this? Is this really a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabban? I mentioned that the Nazis, before they exterminated all the Jews, at first they made it impossible for them to make a living. So they prohibited the Jews from going to the different businesses. One of the few businesses that they were able to have was to be in a non-kosher food business. They allowed them to. So that was a shayla. This Sridi Yesh lived through all of that. He lived through the war. Sridi Yesh was a the head of the learning program in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. They gave smicha there. So he wrote a lot of tshuvas before the war, after the war. So this is one of the tshuvas he writes. How serious a din is this? Is this really a din d'oraisa? And you have to really be machmer, or is it maybe if there's any suffix, maybe there's room to be mekel because only the rabbanon. So he discusses. So there's a famous Taz, Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush, who's the rabbi in the Gvul Yavetz shul, has many svarim. All of his svarim are, he's a super genius. So one of the svarim he has is on Divrei HaTaz HaYodua, on this famous Taz, on this Din in Shulchan Aruch, that the Rambam writes that even though there's an Issa not to do Schor b'macholas asuras, but this prohibition does not apply to Chelev. Why? Because it's a Beferish and Pasuk in the Chumash. Gemara quotes it on the next line here, 6-7 lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, which says, Vayikra Zayin. It says, so the Rambam says, you see, beferish, the chelev is mutar bischeira. He also lachol malach. He can do whatever you want. Taisus there on that daven balakama, pay base on the base, writes not so. So on that Taisus, I think Reb Shlomo LeVilna, in the back of the Vilna Shas, points out that the Taisus disagrees with the Rambam. Chelev nevela, chelev yasa lachol malach means mutar bahanoa, but you're not allowed to be in the business. Let's say, I'll go to all of the butcher shops where they cut out the chelev, and I'll buy up everybody's chelev, and I'll sell it to soap companies. Some of the expensive soaps put in chelev. So I'm going to deal only in the chelev. So if I'm a butcher and I sell meat and they shecht an animal, so what do I do with the chelev? I can't sell it to the customers, so I sell it to the soap companies. But is someone allowed to be in this bin? He goes to all the butcher shops and all the slaughterhouses in the whole city, and he goes and collects everybody's chelem and he resells it to the soap company. That's all he's doing. That's not nizdamnu. All he does is to sell a chelem and make money on it. So that's a machlekes Taisus and the Ram. So Taisus says also bischeira, it muta bano, but it's also bischeira. And the Ramam says that it's muta included in the pasuk that it's muta. So the Taz raises the question. He had the impression, many are of the assumption, that the whole difference between nizdamnu and to be bekvias, not to do schar macholas asuras, the whole difference is only midirabbanon. The whole issue is only midirabbanon. The psukim are just asmachta. So if it's only an asmachta midirabbanon, how can the Rambam prove from the pasuk? The pasuk says, you see, it's muta to do schara. But if the whole Yisrael is only midirabbanon on the level of the Raisa, even Chazer is muta bischer. Everything is muta bischer. How can the Rambam prove from the Pasuk that there's no Yisrael by Chelev on the level of the Raisa, there's no Yisrael at all? So the Taz has his famous answer that he has in a few different places. Even if the Rambam, it doesn't necessarily prove that the Rambam agrees with Taisus, that Schor b'macholos asuras is an Issa de Raisa. Even if the Rambam would hold that it's an Issa de Rabbanon, the Rambam held a svara, the Chachamim have a right to make an Issa de Rabbanon, but they can't prohibit Dabba Hamafurish Batorah Lahetera. If it's a Beferish Pasuk that says, Yasa Lachal Malacha, Lachelev, they can't ask a Chelev Bischer. So maybe that's what the Rambam meant, that when the Chachamim prohibit, maybe the Rambam also agrees, Schor b'machal, Sasur is only the Rabbanon. But the Chachamim can never make a Gzera de Rabbanon on Chelev, because it's a Beferish Pasuk that said that it's Mutah. So this is a famous topic. Is that true or not? Is there such a, the Taz has that klal in three different places. That's a question. Is it really so that the Chachamim have no right to make Gzeira Keneged Dava Mefurish Batura? There is one of the many, many sources. So Rav David Cohen collected all the Marmukaimus and Mishanim and Achraim, a whole sefer on the topic. One of the many Marmukaimus, I'm sure he quotes it, one of the many Marmukaimus is, there's a gemara in the end of Perek Cheskes Abatim at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Chachamim considered a possibility we should prohibit the Jewish people from having any children. What are we going to gain by having children? They'll just give more Jewish lives to the Nazis to kill. So we should stop having children. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. How can you stop having children? So Pasuk Chumash, Pruravu, a mitzvah in the Torah. So Tosis answers, no, it goes on having more than two children. The Chumash and only says you have a son and a daughter, and yeah, it's a peri berivya. The Gemara goes on having more than two children. And other Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch, they quote Siman Aleph and Ebenezer, they quote the Mordechai. No, they were planning to do away with the whole din. They're going to do away with the whole din. So what? So that's a mefurish of Tosis. Tosis in the Mordechai, Tosis on the daf. In the end of Cheskabatim, assumes they cannot make a gzera kenegadav hamafurish batar to prohibit having children. And Mordechai says no. That's in Shulchan Aruch, in the first page in Ebenezer, when they talk about the mitzvah of Piravirivya. So it says, Bizman HaBayis, before the Churban Bayis Sheni, that there was a real din of Pruravu. If a person wouldn't get married, we would force him to get married. Exactly, we would pressure him. Kaifan ala mitzvah. So if a person doesn't want to shake a lulav, doesn't want to eat matzah, so we force him. So if he doesn't want to get married, we force him to get married. We pressure him till he gets married. So the Mordechai says, the Ramo quotes it, the first page in Ebenezer, that Bizman Hazeh, really, it would make more sense. We shouldn't have such a din at all. No one should have any more children, just making more Jewish lives, that the Nazis will kill more people. But it's exerish and right by Tibi Chalam Laman, but people have a desire to get married. They see a good looking woman, or a woman sees a good looking man, so they say they want to get married. So you can't make such a gzera. It's ain't Rabbi Tzibi Chodom Lamed, but if not for the fact that we really should have made such a gzera. So if a person, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, if a person doesn't want to get married, we're no longer kaif ala mitzvahs, because more correct should have been, you shouldn't force anybody to get married. So that's against Tosfos. Tosfos says that the din, they never had a havamita to do away with the whole din of Peru Revu. They only wanted to do away, shouldn't have more than the bare minimum of having a son and a daughter. So that's there are many marmakimas on that topic. That's Rav David Cohen collected all of them and put them together in a whole sefer. Wow. So then finally on the bottom of Amud Aleph, on the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara quotes the Machlokes Rabbi Yosi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva regarding that pasuk. Pasuk says in Vayikra Vav, V'chele Nevela, what is it, Vayikra Zayin? V'chele Nevela, V'chele Trefi Yosa L'chol Malacha, V'chol Lo Sochluhu. Why do I need that pasuk? V'chol Lo Sochluhu, V'chele B'zosa B'chile. We know that. What does it mean, Yosa L'chol Malacha? So Rabbi Yosi HaGlili says, I need a pasuk to tell me that it's Muta Bahano, because it says you're not allowed to eat chelev. So I would have thought like Rabbi Abbo. Rabbi Yosi HaGlili seems to hold like Rabbi Abbo. And the Medevin says, Ko chelev lo sa chelu should include Isa Hano. So I need a pasuk to say that chelev is muta bahano. Rabbi Kiva says, no, I don't need a pasuk to tell me it's muta bahano. Well, why should I have a havamina? The chelev should be asa bahano. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiva holds like Chizkiah, that only if it says yei ochel, but if it only says Ko chelev lo sa chelu, it would not imply Isa Hano. So what does the pasuk tell me? I need the pasuk to tell me Yosa l'chol malacha. The nevela is metame. A treifa is not metame. Shchitas treifa is metame de nevela. But if you have a nevela, nevela has a tumas nevela. So the Torah says Yosa l'chol malacha, that chelav of a nevela doesn't have tumas nevela. Only besar nevela. Even though usually chelav is included in basar. So the Torah is telling me the chelev of an avela is not metame. It's a chiddush, an exception to the rule. So that's the machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. So that's what the Gemara is going to continue on the top of Amud Beis. My laba, hokam ifligi. What exactly is the machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili? Rabbi Yosi HaGlili seems to hold that since it says you shouldn't eat chelev, it would have been also ba'ano. So I need a pasuk to tell me that it's muta ba'ano. In other words, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili holds like Rabbi Abohu. And Rabbi Akiva seems that he holds like Chizkiah, that there would never have been a havamin in the first place to think that chelev should be osmano. I don't need a pasuk to tell me osmano doesn't say lo yeyah chelev, just says lo sa chelev. So it must be the pasuk tells me the chiddush that chelev nevela is not betame. Chelev treif is not betame. The whole shchitas treif is metame de nevela. But chelev nevela, I would have thought is metame because chelev is bechal basa. So I need a pasuk to tell me that chelev of an avela is not mitami. So the Gemara says that seems to be machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, seems to be identical with the machlekes Chizkiah and Rabbi Abbo. My love, the Hokamer Fligi, Abdes Aglili holds like Rabbi Abohu, and Rabbi Akiva holds like Chizkiah. There's no habamin in the world that Chelim should be also. No. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Lo, okay. So maybe Bilineta tomorrow will continue from the sixth line on Chav Gimel on base low. I'd like to run through the whole Gemara. Aren't the Tosfos and are not that important over here. Yeah, well, the tests are important, but not linear. Ain't. So I'd like to run through the Gemara till around 10 lines from the top of Chav Dalin on the base. But the Gemara says, Am Rabba Bo, Am Rab Yechon. The line begins, Am Rab Yechon. So I'd like to run through the Gemara from Chav Gimel on the base, low, the Kuli Amalasa Chela Mashma, and the sixth line of Chav Gimel on the base to Chav Dalin on the base. Okay.